Today on Real Radio.
He's praying for us. But by the person of the Holy Spirit, he's in your heart right now. And he wants you to be wise. He wants you to be full of wisdom.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're exploring chapter 4, where Paul, the letter's author, emphasizes unity among believers and spiritual gifts. This is actually a series taken from Ephesians 4 in verses 7 through 16, as well as other passages. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in his series called United in the Gifts.
Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you, I love this, of things to come. Prophecy, I like that. And then again in 1 John 2:27, the Bible says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. It takes up residence in your hearts. You'll be able to discern what's right or wrong. And you do not need that anyone should teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and it is true, it is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, will abide, or you will abide in him. That's wonderful. Now we come to our study. Are you ready? Turn to 1 Corinthians 12:4. We're going to be talking tonight, with the few seconds we have left, on the gift of the Holy Spirit, as mentioned here, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 8 of the Word of Wisdom. What is it? In 1 Corinthians 12:4, the Scripture says there are diversities of gifts, different gifts, but the same Spirit. You see in your Bible, capital S? Capital S means Holy Spirit. That's the person of the Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God, who works in all, that is unity. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all of us. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. And so tonight we're going to be talking about the first part of that verse, and that is the word of wisdom. What is the word of wisdom? What is the gift of the word of wisdom? Have you ever heard of it before? You will, you would have if you've read your Bible in this area, the word of wisdom, but it's rarely ever talked about. First of all, jot it down. The word wisdom in Greek here in the New Testament is the word Sophia. If your name is Sophia, it means this, that you're wise. Isn't that a great name? Sophia. The word in the New Testament sense means a God-given ability to apply spiritual knowledge to a specific situation. What a definition, huh? To have the ability, it's a God-given ability, not just wisdom of the world, but as a God-given ability to apply spiritual knowledge, Bible, to a specific situation. And boy, does that speak volumes. You can have all of the knowledge of the Bible in the world and be, so to speak, spiritually dumb, not wise. You can be, well, how many of you heard of George Whitefield? Great George Whitefield. You look at some of the great Puritan preachers of 100 years, 200 years ago. Great preachers. Many of them came to Christ well into their ministries. They had gone through theology, they had gotten all of their degrees, been ordained, and were pastoring churches. And then you read their own writing and they say, but one day I woke up and I met Jesus as my Lord and Savior of my life and I was born again. Ay, ay, ay. But you can have knowledge. and never come to Christ, never know Him. You can know the Bible. You can be teaching Bible theology in a university and have all the scriptural knowledge and be able to do what two guys did in Florida, what was it, 2 years ago? I told you about this when it happened. On a radio station in Florida, they had a call-in, and it was a challenge on Bible verses. And you can relax. There is no way we're going to get done with this study tonight. And they had this call-in thing. And this guy would, the host on the radio would say, 1 Chronicles 9:4. And these guys were on the line. And the guy would say, I don't know how they kept them from line, but they were on the phone, and they got these two qualifiers. These guys came down, and they were the best Bible verse quoters, these guys. So they brought them into the studio, and they had a runoff. And they were sitting there on the air with the host. And the guy goes, 2 Chronicles 29:18, Parbar westward at the causeway. It's some very bizarre verse like that. And we'll look it up. Isn't it 2 Corinthians 29:18 or 28, something like that? Anyway, the guy quotes it, and the guy quoted it, and the opponent says, that's wrong. And he says, no, it's not. And he goes, yes, it is. That's wrong. You said it wrong. So they played the tape back, and then this guy quotes it, and he quotes it correct. And they got in such a big argument because what happened was it was a dispute over the version. And they had all this knowledge. And I understand all these pastors down there in Florida, they were listening to this program. They couldn't believe it. And they got in such an argument over the air that one guy pulled out a gun and shot the guy right in the air. For God is love, and those, boom! Can you imagine having all that knowledge and the guy shoots the guy? They were so freaked out. The guy was so bad of a loser, man. Hey, didn't you know the first shall be last? Last shall be first. Kaboom. Knowledge. Listen, wisdom is the exercise of knowledge. You can have all Bible knowledge. You can be in a situation and blow the whole thing. You can walk right up to somebody and say, excuse me, but don't you know you're going to burn and go to hell? You will have zero converts doing that. It won't work. God will give a wisdom to you to deliver knowledge. Now, it is true that they're going to die and go to hell if they don't accept Jesus Christ. But what's your aim, man? To kill them or to bring them into the kingdom? Our heart's desire is to bring them in. To befriend them, point them to Christ. Wisdom is the use of knowledge. I read in a book a long time ago, this guy was talking about wisdom and knowledge and how these people who are brilliant, they have great IQs, they can ace these tests. You know, most of these people who are super brilliant have got to have custodians with them. Did you know that? After they're done, winning all the money on Jeopardy, they get out and walk away, and they've got to have somebody that's with them at all times because they'll walk right into the traffic. A light will turn red, and it's like, huh? They'll do the darndest things. They have so much knowledge, and they'll go over there, and they'll take their blow dryer and sit in the pool. They have all this knowledge. They have no wisdom. Listen, the Bible tells us that if we're going to acquire knowledge, it needs to be in the Lord, but the Bible commits chapters to us pursuing wisdom. It's very important. And tonight or next time or sometime, we're going to see some neat examples of wisdom in this study. If I would exercise some wisdom. But a God-given ability to use spiritual knowledge. It's accomplished in two ways, by the way. Either through the Word of God itself, knowledge will come that way, and then you'll exercise wisdom in the dispersion of that knowledge through the Bible. Or, number two, by supernatural insight into a situation. And that's a fun part. Many of us have experienced that in our lives. where you may not even know someone. You may not even know the details. And God will speak something. You're not even sure it's God yet. And something will come out of your mouth and it'll be just the fix or just the situation, or I should say the answer to the situation, and the person's jaw will fall down. Or, you know, you're like scratching, and they got the answer. Well, God gets all the glory. You were just the vessel. God gave you a word of wisdom, and it's spoken to them. Very powerful, supernatural. There'll be times, have you ever done this? When you're sharing the Lord with somebody, and verses are coming up like, wow, where did that come from? I read that 20 years ago. I haven't been, and wow, and, you know, verses coming up. Zephaniah. And it's like, isn't it bizarre? And you're like quoting this, you know, and the Lord cannot, he won't even look upon righteousness. That's in Habakkuk 1:13. It's like, Habakkuk, God, how'd you, he's moving. You ever been, it's like a rush. You get done, it's like, man, let's go to sleep. No way. You ever been there? It's so cool. If you know what I'm talking about, sign up and go outside with us on Thursday nights, or go to Russia. You don't have to go to Russia to do it. You just join us Thursday nights, go door to door. And God will use you. You'll be surprised. And he'll give you knowledge and wisdom about how to deal with a certain person or situation. But wisdom and knowledge, obviously, we'll see this. They're two different gifts and they're two different things. Knowledge says this. This is what knowledge says. I see a shark swimming right by Pirate's Cove. That's knowledge. I see a shark. Wisdom is, I'm not going to go in the water. Okay? Knowledge says, that looks like a skunk. Wisdom says, don't pick it up. You see, they're two different things. One identifies and knows, the other one executes an action. Either wait or go. And so, God uses the gift of wisdom in many ways, but ultimately the end will be to transfer knowledge from either the Bible, from you, or from God to another person. And the body's edified. And we need to be asking the Lord, do we have that gift? How is the gift of knowledge used within the church? We're going to look at a few things real quickly. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus says this concerning all of us. How is the gift used? Jesus says this, behold, I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Now, we all know that verse well, but isn't that a funny verse if you think about it? We are sheep, and we're standing there, and he's petting our head, and he's combing our head, and he's putting the oil on our bodies, as just as the shepherd does, and he's checking our little hooves and cleaning our eyes out, and we're just happy all about it. And he says, okay. He says, now you ready? You ready? Yeah. And he goes, okay, I'm going to send you out into the midst of a bunch of wolves. What? That's what it says. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. What are these, attack wolf, or attack sheep, I should say? Are these like atomic sheep? Are these like galvanized sheep? No, he says, listen, you're little lambs, and I'm going to send you out into a world full of wolves. With no guns, with no knives, with nothing. But all that you need, and that is the Holy Spirit in you. And that's a fact. Sheep in the midst of wolves. He says, be as harmless as doves and as wise as a serpent. And you may have wondered about that. What about a serpent? You think of serpent, you think of Satan. And well, that's good. So do I. But you ever wondered how a serpent survives? He's got no moped. He's got no metro. He's got no car. How does he do it? He is very, very cunning. He's very slick. He watches what's going on. He's careful. Very cautious. He doesn't have those legs that he had in the Garden of Eden. Read it carefully. because he used to have legs. They're gone. And Jesus says, you'd be as wise as a serpent. That poor legless thing survives because it's smart and it thinks. And he's saying, you be careful. You go out into the world and you be as harmless as a dove. But you be as wise as a serpent. And God will bless you. That's how the gift is used. That we go in the power of the Lord and in the strength of the Lord. And then you think about a dove. We have a lot of doves that come in our backyard. They love to eat at the feeder. And they are the most precious things. And it's so cute because you never see them, at least I haven't yet, separated. There's always two of them. And if there's two, then there's four. And if there's four, then there's eight. And there's never an odd number. And the two are always together. They must be honeys. They're always together. And they're so gentle and so docile. And Jesus says, you be like that. He says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 17, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in synagogues, and you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you shall speak, for it is not you who speaks, but the Holy Spirit who speaks through you. That's the Holy Spirit speaking wisdom. He says to us, go out into the world. In Acts chapter 6, verse 9, this is a great example. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexanders, and from those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Isn't that great? I don't think I have anything to say. If you've memorized the verse, you've got enough. How many people we could have stand up right here, right now, and say, you know what? It took me, they would say, having to go to the other side of the world. I didn't have any Bible knowledge, I thought. And I met someone on the street in Moscow or somewhere, and I invited them, I shared, I gave them the gospel, and they accepted Jesus. How does that happen? Why do we need this gift within the church? Well, obviously, for the unification of the believers. We know that already from Ephesians 4, 11 and 13. But also for the propagation of truth. Not only publicly, in a corporate sense, but individual, one with another. And by the way, you will not be, I believe, a pastor or a counselor called into any kind of that ministry without God blessing you with the word of wisdom. You must be able to have this gift to be in counseling, or else you'll never get anywhere. Yes, it blesses in a corporate sense, but boy, is it powerful one-on-one. So often the time. It can be used in a group setting and like in an afterglow. God may give a word to someone, and that person may speak out that word. We'll talk about that more next time when we come together. But why do we need this gift? In Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, the scripture says, in whom, that is Jesus, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I want to end right here with this. In Jesus is all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Where's Jesus tonight? If you ask a bunch of adults that, they don't say anything because they're afraid they might be wrong. If you ask all the kids across the street, you know what they do? In my heart. No question about it. Where's Jesus, class? In my heart. You ask a bunch of adults, where's Jesus? It could be a trick question. Where is he going with this? He's in our hearts by the person of the Holy Spirit. We can prove that theologically. Jesus said something that almost sounded like he was talking out of both sides of his mouth when he said, I have to go away. We quoted it earlier. The Holy Spirit's going to come to you. He says, I must leave, but when he comes, he'll abide with you forever. And then the next line, he says, I will not leave you, I will be with you. Jesus lives in your heart tonight by the person of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father, making prayers for us right now. Isn't that neat? He's praying. He's praying for us. But by the person of the Holy Spirit, he's in your heart right now. And he wants you to be wise. He wants you to be full of wisdom. We live in a culture, people, and we live in an age. Did you know this? That we have set a world's record. We are doubling the knowledge, the known knowledge in the world is being doubled now every 18 months. Every 18 months. There's actually a company in New York that does this work to determine this. And we've got more technology, we've got more knowledge than any civilization in the history of mankind. We've got more knowledge. And you know what? We don't even know how to be parents. We don't even know how to be wives. We don't even know how to be husbands. We don't even know how to do the things that the old timers learned how to do from childhood. We've got all the knowledge in the world, man. And we can't even tie our shoelaces without some kind of chemical. We need God's wisdom.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called United in the Gifts. It's actually a mini-series that takes a look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us. Now, we've mentioned a few times recently a valuable resource for your loved one who is a professing believer but has, well, fallen out of fellowship. And who better to tell you more about this resource than our teacher himself, Pastor Jack?
Mike, you know this is dear to my heart, and you know that I love to see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's almost nothing more exciting than that. When I say almost, this is something that really drives my heart as a pastor. And that's those who know Jesus, but they've walked away from him. They're the ones that Jesus spoke about in Luke's gospel, the prodigal son. Maybe you're the prodigal daughter today, and you're far from God. And you're hearing this program right now, and it's got your attention. You're living a life that you know is not pleasing to God. I want you to know something. The Lord is saying to you, Christian, come home. He's inviting you to come back to have your sins forgiven and your fellowship reestablished with the Lord. That can happen now, my friend. Or maybe you know somebody who's in that condition today that they need to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, listen, for a gift of $20 or more to support Real Radio, there's a 4-DVD set entitled Christian Come Home, taken out of Luke's gospel, Life of the Prodigal Son. Christian, if you're not walking with God, come on back. Christian, come home now.
Okay, so once again, to get Pastor Jack's DVD set, Christian Come Home, call, click, or write. Again, for your gift of $20 or more, visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or call us toll-free. 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or the traditional way, for the cost of a stamp, you can just write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Once again, that's for your gift of $20 or more. If you missed any of this contact information, simply visit us at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.